It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chisel. And why do we call it Chisel? Because we're all a work in progress. I'm your host, Rob Hamadani. I'm also the author of Better Than You Think. And today I have a guest, David Sidoni, out of Laguna, California. David is a 17-year veteran of the real estate business. He's also part of the same community that I've been a part of and so many other realtors we've interviewed on this podcast. But David's got a special story here, and he's one that he's going to share, like how he's chiseled his career down to one specific niche. And so he's chiseled it down, and now it's building up and evolving into this explosive business for himself. So, David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, as a lifelong David, I've had a lot of people talk to me about the statue of David, and I got fortunate enough to see that right after I got married. And I wish that the statue that I created was that beautiful along the way. I got a chunk of marble that's a mess, but it's fun, and I'm happy to share.
I love that. You know, it's funny. That's where the vision of this came from. It was I had a vision of the half-chiseled statue of David, and that's how this evolved. So thanks for bringing that to the forefront.
Sure.
Yeah. So look, so David, he's got a crazy, like he's a dance instructor, teacher way back when. He's been in some movies, one-liners here and there, some acting. He's even hosted a few game show hosts. And specifically for those in the Maryland region, he did this Pat Sajak role of Wheel of Fortune for Kids. Is that right?
Yeah, it was, believe it or not, Saturday morning is governed by the government, and they have to have educational programming in between the Saturday morning cartoons. And somehow they slipped it by that stupid spelling game was considered educational. So did the kids version. Yeah. And I was on the same set as Pat and Vanna. And I was the Pat Sajak. I did not get to use his dressing room. Mine was significantly smaller. We did one season of that, and my Vanna White was a motion capture cartoon.
There you go. Well, so the reason I said the Maryland region is because Pat Sajak's from Maryland. I don't know if you know that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Still, his talk show should have gone. That's just me. His talk show was great, but you know.
It was. It was great. Yeah. So look, what I didn't mention in the introduction here is that David Sidoni has this podcast. It's an incredible podcast. It's called How to Buy a Home. And what I like to do, Dave, is get into, like, you had all these other things you were doing, and at some point you made this transition from acting, theater, and whatnot to real estate. And then from real estate, where you've been in for 17, 18 years, then about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess the idea may have come before that, but 4 or 5 years ago, you channeled it into How to Buy a Home podcast. So can you give us a little bit of an idea how this evolved?
Absolutely. One of the things, you know, having a podcast myself, and I occasionally do interview people. One of the things I do and with the podcast, because I know the way people listen to podcasts, is I'll give you the punchline first, and then I'll go back and tell you how it started. So last year in 2022, we had, and by we, I mean me and a couple of the people that are helping me out just barely, 213 referrals that I sent to people all over the country from the podcast that closed, for a total of $98.8 million, almost $1 million in referrals. People listen to the podcast, they call me and they go, okay, that makes sense. I need a good realtor in your area. And so I have a network of people always growing and continually looking to find those right people. I call them unicorns. And the message behind the podcast is, the real estate industry thinks that first-time buyers suck. You suck time, effort, energy, and money. They treat you like garbage. There are probably people listening to this. Some of them might be mad that I say that. Hang on. I'm not talking about you. If you're listening to this podcast, you know the drill. There are 3 million licensed agents and 1 million listings right now. We all know how many agents out there are not treated or are not treating first-time buyers right, or not bringing the right experience to the table. The bar, in my opinion, is way too low for anybody to get a license and say that they're an expert. So I wanted to create a space for first-time buyers to get the education. The way the industry does it, they let the lenders kind of control online, because the national online lenders have a national online budget. So they're the ones going out reaching. We expect to catch the first time buyers by referrals, sons and daughters of the people whose homes we sell. And what's really interesting is I still believe the real estate industry is running on the old, put a sign in the yard and that's how you get the buyers. And they're that slow to adapt. And they don't realize that first-time buyers right now are going other places to find people. And they're finding someone who's being taught how to brand on TikTok more than they're being taught how to negotiate a contract. And straight up, first-time buyers are getting screwed. And I tell them, pull back the curtain. And they listen and get the education they want for free. And then eventually, I try to make sure they're talking to the right people.
Yeah. So in saying that, David, so it was there. When was the time, like, what was the time frame when they clicked and said, you know what, I'm not just selling real estate anymore. I want to focus on these first time home buyers.
Okay. Well, that was the punchline. Now here comes the backstory. So I did the deal. I started in 2006, right at the beginning of the year there, jumped on the Titanic. Good job. Nice time to be in real estate. And, because I'm in Southern California and I worked at Disneyland in high school and college, I had a bunch of first-time home buyers. As the market crashed, no one's given a new agent short sales. So I was working with a ton of first-time home buyers, built my career, had a team, had a partner, you know, did the whole thing. At one point, I think I had 8 buyers agents on our team for a little while. And about 13 years in, my wife said, you know, you're only happy when you work with those Disney people. So I spent a year researching and I looked into everything, spent a lot of money on workshops, seminars, and really looked at social media, because the way I was running my business was referral completely. But I was seeing that my clients were referring me through Facebook back in the day. And so I kind of did a bunch of research and I truly thought I was going to be a YouTube star. And so I did everything, and the podcast was kind of an afterthought.
Okay.
Then it blew up. Yeah. And then it blew up.
So let's talk about that. So it's 4 years in, and I think the last time we spoke, you mentioned you've had about 850,000 downloads of your podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah. Had a good month. We're up to 900 now. So I'm getting close to the million downloads.
And so we know it didn't start out at that number, right? So So there was some grit and some grind going on to start it out. Was there ever a time when you said, you know what, this just isn't working? Or was there a time, like they said, I got to have patience, and bang, it just clicked and you said, I know it's going to take off?
My dad, who was a sales guy for 35 years, absolutely thought I was an idiot and listened to my podcast and gave me advice. You know, when I first started in real estate, he and I would talk about Tom Hopkins, the old sales guy. My dad actually had the cassettes, and he always quotes Zig Ziglar to me. And so there were a lot of naysayers. I think what happened for me was I thought, this is an audio buyer consultation. My people at Disneyland are the people who work in entertainment, so they have time because they're the tech people. But between the shows, I was with them hanging out in the green room, just throwing random conversations around. So I thought, oh, well, at least this will save me a few trips to Starbucks and these people can listen to me. And then I had people start calling me and asking me, drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, I hear what you're saying. Who do you know in Denver? Who do you know in Chicago? Who do you know in Portland? And so fortunately, the network that you and I have been in for so many years, I've been meeting these people face to face going around the country, and I got to start referring people. And then I thought, hey, this could be a thing. So during the pandemic, I took a little time off on the podcast and built the behind the scenes network. And it was 72 referrals in 2021. And it was somewhere in the middle of that year, I went, this is going to go. And I had my own 10 buyers that summer of 2021 that were podcast listeners, and big, like, people coming from San Francisco who were buying at $750,000. So it wasn't, you know, people asking me to help them find a $100,000 condo. And which was great for my business. And I worked about 18 hours a day and killed myself that year. And now the system is in place and I'm able to help people all over.
And it's unbelievable the network you're building, and it's going to continue to grow. As we were just on this unicorn Facebook gathering, if you will, and his name is going to continue to get out. There's like 20 some thousand people in that community or that network, and there's a lot of them don't even know you. I just met you about six, seven months ago, I think it was, maybe not even that. And so I'd heard about you, so I was introduced to you.
Yeah, it's friends of friends. It's great. You know good people. It's kind of the same way that good businesses grow their business. You know, you have good people know good people, and now, you know, we're all individual solo entrepreneurs, but we all have to support each other.
Absolutely. That's what we do. And so, well, part of this is the idea, the podcast is going to bring people to David, and David takes people to other people outside. Like, he spreads his tentacles out throughout the country. And I've told other guests on this podcast, and the audience knows this, that one out of every 8 houses in America is usually sold by somebody in our network. And my guess would be that number is going to come down a little bit because of you and your podcast. Could be, right?
There's a lot of people that I work with are people in our network. So, you know, those numbers will keep going. But it's great because it's an opportunity to have a real passion project that, and, you know, a labor of love for me. And because I've just been fortunate enough over all these years, I know really great people, and, you know, like, you and I didn't know each other, but somebody great said, oh my gosh, you guys have to know each other. And here we are.
I got to give James Sharp kudos to that, 'cause he's the one that introduced us.
Yep.
And he's been a guest here. So let me ask this question, or make this statement here. 'Cause we were just on a bold predictions for 2023. I don't know if you listened to that, but in that webinar, if you will, they were telling us that millennials in the future are going to be big buyers. And we can assume that millennials are typically going to be first-time home buyers. So this, the statement or statistic that was stated was that in the next 3 to 4 years, 2/3 of all millennials will be buying a home. That's a huge market, and people didn't need to hear your podcast. I think you would agree with that.
I a bazillion percent agree. I am actually in between us doing this podcast right now. I stole bold predictions, as I do every year. And I wrote my podcast that I thought was going to be one episode. I think it's turning into 5. And I'm in between 1 and 2 right now, getting that crucial information to my buyers. Not the stuff that we're talking about right now, but the other part of that. So yes, I definitely, I engulfed that information. And I have been saying, as far as the market share, there are really, really smart people that run real estate, and I am blown away at their complete, I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, but they're stupid. It blows me away that one third of the market every single year. Last year was the lowest it's ever been, 26%. It usually hovers 32 to 34% are first-time home buyers. They still build every you go to all the big ones. I don't care who it is, Keller, EXP, Compass, Coldwell, Sotheby's. It's listings, listings, listings. What other business totally ignores one-third of the customer base? It blows me away. I actually started the podcast, frankly, pissed off.
Yeah.
And was telling everybody, you're getting screwed. And it's time that you get the correct information. Now, I happen to know great people that are going to be able to help you. But, you know, my dad the whole time was like, millennials aren't buying. Well, back 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, even, the millennial stats are complete bogus, not true. They are buying. Yes. And they have been buying. The average age last year was 36 for a first-time home buyer. What's scary is millennials are starting to get closer and closer to that age point. And as we move along, people are going to realize they think that they're these happy-go-lucky people who, you know, just want to travel and don't want to be tied down. Great. The average age is 36, and it's been around there for a long time. People have this old thought that people graduate from college at 22 years old and buy the Norman Rockwell house with the picket fence. It's not true. It hasn't been true. And so ignoring those people is, and you don't have to be on TikTok to reach out to these people. You have to understand, I have doctors, lawyers, people calling me making 250 and more who listen to the podcast because they have spent a life with a computer in their pocket and they research first. And I'm the only voice talking to first time home buyers because everybody else in real estate says listings, listings, listings.
Yeah. So I want to make a comment real quick. You said you stole Buffini's the bold predictions. And I can appreciate that, David, because I don't know if you've heard this quote before, but I think Picasso said, you know, good artists borrow, but great artists steal. So you're welcome to steal that.
I'm stealing that. I am absolutely stealing that. I've never heard that one before. I love it. There you go.
I'll give credit to Picasso. So that's good stuff. So anyway, yeah, early on, I don't think you shared this with me, but I think I read it somewhere that you got into this because your mission and your passion was to help the ignored and underappreciated first-time homebuyer, right? And so here we are, and you're talking about millennials and we talk about first-time homebuyers, but the podcast doesn't say how to buy your first home. It says how to buy a home. So I think one of the points I want to make, it's just not for first-time homebuyers. It's for any homebuyer. Would you agree with that?
Well, what's really interesting is, yes, I 100% agree. And what's interesting is I have a lot of people under 30 that reach out to me who, for whatever reason, fortunate family help or whatever, bought a home with a realtor 5, 6, 7 years ago. Realtor never called them back, hasn't kept in touch with them. They were a transaction to that person who went and listened to my podcast because maybe at that time, mom and dad or their rich uncle or somebody was holding their hand. And now they get to buy the home that they want to buy their way because they're sitting on such a giant pile of equity. Yeah. So I have many of my unicorn realtors out there. I call them unicorns because they're magical, mystical, elusive, and difficult to find. these experienced people who are going to still understand and appreciate the value of these first-time home buyers, I'm calling some of them up saying, hey, I've got a sale and a buy. And yeah. So that's happening a lot. And I have investors that call me. I usually steer away from the investor people because there are 9,000 other podcasts about that. But overall, the mission of the podcast is to talk about buying a home as most important for you. And for most people, it's a large part of their financial portfolio. So I have, you know, people that are talking about second homes, and I mean, wherever you go, if you have the right person with the right experience guiding you, if it's your first or your fifth home, that's going to be far more important than just Googling a couple things and trying to do it on your own.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with that. And one of the points I want to make is, and maybe I'd like you to share this here. A lot of times in our business, we say, you know, the first step for a home buyer is to do this, right? And I think there's this piece is people usually say, hey, go get pre-approved. Is that correct? That's what they usually say.
That is what they say. Is it correct?
No.
So that's what I want you to share. The next step, you know, what's the first step? What's the most important step for a buyer to do in searching for a home?
Well, like everyone on a podcast, I'm not going to answer your question right away. Friends. Don't let friends use online lenders. That is a motto of the podcast. Friends, do not let friends use online lenders. I will tell you what the first step is, and I'll tell you why it's backwards online. The first step is go to a realtor, period, end of discussion. Now, 95% of the realtors aren't going to give you the time of day if you're more than 6 months out. So the first step is find somebody who can help you find that unicorn 5% of the realtors in your local area. Talk to a realtor and get the full understanding of everything. And then through the realtor, my opinion, recommendation to a mortgage broker. Now, some people that have been in the business for a long time have great relationships with the big banks. But most good mortgage brokers can get stuff from Wells and Chase and Citibank and B of A. In my opinion, everything on the internet is wrong because the big online lenders are united. They're one budget for one national company. We are individual entities all over, and therefore, we have done an extremely poor job of marketing to people online of what first-time homebuyers should do. So the internet says go get a pre-approval. A lot of bad agents will say, don't talk to me until you go get a pre-approval. really good agents say that. And they say that because they think, I don't want anyone to waste my time. If you had a system in place to have a 20-minute conversation with someone and you had a lender who had systems in place to have a 20-minute conversation with them, sure, not every one of them is going to work out. But if you pipeline them and stay in touch with them, they're going to be so grateful because it is so confusing. And that's the goal of the podcast, to crush the confusion, make you feel comfortable. And a lot of people have told me what they did is their first step is they listened to everything I said, and then they reached out. I get it. That's the way some people work.
Yeah.
But for me, it's find the realtor before you find the lender. I was listening to two lenders that have a podcast, and they said, okay, here's what you do in order. First, make sure you're pre-approved and get your numbers. I totally understand that. That's logical. It makes sense.
Right.
Do you know what their step two was? Find a realtor. Now, I know you're wondering, what's the best way to find your realtor? What you're probably going to do is you're going to go out and, you know, try to find the best people in town. And then a lot of times your realtors are going to know really good lenders too, so you can talk to them. And I was like, well, that's backwards.
Hello. Right. It's great.
Yep.
So, I didn't look the exact amount, but how many hundreds of podcasts has it been so far? Help me out here.
Oh, where am I at? 152.
Yeah, I almost said that. I could have sworn. Okay. I should have said it. I should have guessed and said 152 because that's what I thought it was. So out of those 152 podcasts that you've done, have you ever gone back and listened to any of them?
Oh, I at the beginning, every single one, and centered my dad and listened to him again for multiple different reasons, quality check and all that stuff. I make it a point to listen to everyone the day that they come out, usually while I'm, you know, shaving or whatever, because what's happening now is people are calling me instantly with questions about it. And, you know, I may have recorded it 2 weeks ago, so I do it as a reminder for myself.
So in that process, how much growth have you seen in yourself from 4 years ago to today?
It's true. Audio wise, I go back, I listen to the first couple ones and I just want to puke, but you know, I got new equipment, so that helps. But what's really interesting is for me, the message and the passion is still the same, but I'm really just answering questions now. Every podcast is instead of me just spouting my own ideas, if you listen to the stuff at the beginning, it sounds just like an angry old man in his living room at 4 a.m, which, by the way, that's exactly what it was. But now it's more of like a radio call-in show without the call-in. You know, yeah. I could open every podcast going, I got an email from, and then and the really nice thing is over the past year and a half, 18 months or so, I've had a lot of wonderful people and I've had interview podcasts, and the listeners really resonate with that. They love to hear somebody else tell how they did it, what pitfalls to avoid, you know, what things they would never do again and what things were fantastic. So that's been neat.
Awesome. This might sound like a silly question. And you said you have a call-in show and it's call in. And I'm going to ask you, is this your calling?
A 1,000,000%. I could go on for way longer than anybody listening to this wants to know, but the culmination of everything that I've done in my life, as you get older, you start to kind of evaluate what you do and, you know, who you are and a motivator and, someone who inspires and someone who is comfortable, whether it be talking on camera or performing, was always kind of a part of me. As I got into real estate, I realized that everyone's like, oh, you're going to be great in real estate. You're an actor. You're more a stage manager. You put out fires the whole time. So,
Yes, we do.
It's the organizational skills that I have now grown. I heard Howie Long say something once, a great defensive lineman for the Raiders, even though I like the Chargers. He said that you look at your career as two elevators, and your prime is when your athletic ability, which declines, when it reaches your experience. So most people are at their best at 28, 29 years old. Now, you know a lot more when you're 35, but you're a step slower. Yeah. I think now, you know, my dad would, and the generation before thinks that, you know, retirement doesn't feel like 55, 60, 65. I don't, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know at 52 years old, I can still communicate and talk to younger people, mostly because the big part of my podcast is don't do the mistake that I did. I rented in the 90s. I spent $104,000 in rent till I was 28 years old. And I moved home with $1,500 security deposit. That's it. So everything that I've done has brought me to this place, and it's been super fun and super fulfilling. You know, there aren't a lot of people who get to help people. I'm a guy. Everybody wants a guy. You know, you want your mechanic, your plumber. I got a guy. I'm a guy.
I'm a guy who knows a guy.
I've never been a guy. It's fun.
Yeah. So I hear the passion. I hear the energy. And one of the key words I think you said there is fulfilling, right? Because a lot of people, they just go along on autopilot all their life and don't either hear their calling or follow their calling. And I guess because of fear, right? And reasons I wanted to get you on this podcast is because, you know, even though I just met you, I know some stuff about you. And I'm sitting there thinking, here's a guy, this is a chiseled podcast, right? And this is a guy, the block of marble was the realtor David, right? And then he's selling real estate. He's learning more about the business. And then he finds this passion for first time home buyers. So he kind of chisels it down to a niche. So you got this niche of first time home buyers, and then you start this podcast. So, oh, by the way, you're 52 years old, but you're only 4 years old in terms of the podcast. So you're still in your infancy stage, right? So that's going to grow. That infancy stage, who knows how long that's going to last. So I really believe in my heart of hearts that this is going to blow up for you in a really bigger, much bigger way. So he's chiseled himself down. He's got an itch, and now he's going to blow himself up. And so I ask you, David, do you ever pinch yourself going through this?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I listening to the motivational people, and you know, I still will listen to the self-help stuff. And you know, one of our gurus, Mr. Buffini, was the one who actually changed my mind about two big things: that money isn't the root of all evil; that it's your ticket to freedom. And he changed my mind about affirmations. You know, here's a world-renowned speaker who's like, yeah, I'm an Irish guy, and you want me to look in the mirror and do Stuart Smalley? I'm good enough. gosh darn it, people like me. And so at one point, I just kind of realized I was in a very fortunate situation in my late 40s. I had a job where I loved about 15, 20% of it. So I said, I know enough now. How do I make that 80% of my day? And I just busted my tail. And now every day, there's 1,000 reasons why I'm happy and 1,000 stories and emails and texts that I get. But when the grind happens, I have to remind myself that 80% of my day I love.
Yeah.
So it's pretty
exciting. Not many people can say that. Not many people can say that.
Yeah. No.
Wow. So how much more chiseling you got going on in this career here? What do you think?
It's interesting. I don't quite know how to mix the metaphor. I guess if you're looking at the statue, it's never done. So if you look at David, bringing it full circle, and then suddenly when I can do better and decided to make another David, you'd have to just completely lose the first one and make a smaller version inside the marble that's left. Ooh. And I see a smaller David. It won't be as beautiful or as big and as grandiose, but it could be a lot more beautiful for my life and my family. The goal is to get to a place where there are 2 million first time home buyers every year. And I'd love to talk to a million of them every year.
Yeah. Well, maybe I was just thinking maybe that David inside of David is the heart of David.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
You said that. Yeah.
it's one of those things you could sit back and look at something and say, wow, this is gorgeous. This is incredible. But, you know, you can never, depending on where you are in your life, some people love their finished piece and some people see more.
Yeah. Do you ever ask God where, hey, say, God, where am I taking this? Where do you want me to take this? You ever ask that question?
You know, for me, it's been such a culmination of everything that, you know, I kind of think of it like I grew up here in Southern California. You're always looking for the perfect wave. And then when you're on it, you're actually pointed exactly where you're supposed to go. You know, okay. Your surfboard is pointed and you see, I have been placed on the perfect wave. So now I see where I need to go. And it's just a matter of me just, you know, letting the current take me.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that metaphor there. So David, what would you say to people who really haven't, who are still in that 20% mode, like you said,
yeah,
still in that 20% mode and they haven't found that 80% piece. What would you tell them to maybe look for or feel or think or encourage them to do to try to find that 80%?
I have some very specific and minutia, real distinct ideas on this that have to do with your finances. I see a lot of people that put the finances as a number, and you know, but one of the guys I listen to a lot who preaches the using social media and the internet to get your career going. It's not about social media and the internet. It's about, look, if you're in an $85,000 job and you don't like what you're doing 80% of the time, but you really love making jam or honey, you can take about 6 months to figure out how to sell jam or honey and make $85,000 a year. So, you know, I think that if you're just in that 20, we're only 20% of your day that you enjoy, it could be something completely different. If you are a boardroom person and your favorite part is running the meetings, okay, can you take the salary reduction and become an educator, become a teacher, where you're doing boardroom meetings all day long, just to students?
Right.
So I think finding what excites you about the 20% and then having a huge open mind to see, I mean, we're in a technological revolution right now. There's going to be jobs that nobody knows about. There's going to be jobs that AI is going to take away in the next couple of years. So it's time to start, you know, the blacksmith thought everything was going awesome, you know, until the Model T came around.
So think outside the box a little bit then too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Dave, as we wrap it up here, I usually ask people, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how would they do that? Well, it's obvious. Go to the podcast, How to Buy a Home, right? So go ahead.
I was going to say, How to Buy a Home. How to Buy a Home. If anyone out there is looking to start a business, GoDaddy has a really cool thing where you can hire a broker for like $100. And somebody sold me How to Buy a Home. So everything you need to know for David is at howtobuyahome.com.
That's incredible. And so you got to get to know David. As I'm just getting to know him. We're on a like topical level right now. This is some deep questions here in this podcast. I appreciate his time because he's a busy guy, man. He's got so many millions of people he's got to impact yet and sell homes to, or get homes people referred to sell millions of homes. So David, man, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to interview you. I'm looking forward to helping build your Baltimore blueprint here and get more people in this area, Maryland, to your podcast and get them out there buying homes. So any final words real quick, Dave?
I'm excited to meet, you know, everybody, all the new people I have and glad to have you out in Baltimore. You got to get ready because you got to have that unicorn horn. It looks a little funny, but you know, I think it'll be a good thing for you. So I appreciate having the opportunity to be on here. I love the concept and the metaphor, and you know, we are such a work in progress. I was just on vacation with my kids and they're 16 and 12. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, to them about making mistakes and said, look, I'm 52 and I'm still a work in progress, but you know, don't get bummed out when I tell you stuff, because my job is to work to help you progress.
Yeah.
And so I'm working to help you progress, but I'm still a work in progress. And if we both have that humility, then we're going to be able to grow a lot faster. So It's really
That's
fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you for saying that. Thank you for using the word humility. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the energy. Thank you for the knowledge. I can say thank you all day long. So look, David, till next time. Till next time, everybody. Let's go get chiseled.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pomodoro. Be sure to like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than Equal.